Would you stand with me? We'll take the time to read at least a portion of the scripture here this evening. Some of you have been seated for a little while. You know, we sang three soldier songs all seated. It's time to stand up here a little bit. Let's see here. Let's begin reading with verse number 13 of Galatians chapter 5. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. That's a powerful passage. You know, there's so many things. I better keep moving. But by love serve one another, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. He said, Brother Ziegler, you've preached from this in recent weeks. Well, it's necessary for us to be often reminded of the necessity of walking in the Spirit. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Pray that you would open it up to us. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Pray that you would use your unworthy servant this evening, touch my lips and my mind, and help me to preach what you would have me to preach. Give me clarity of mind and speech. Give us an opening in our heart and our ears that we would be receptive to what you have for us this evening to walk in your truths. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, you know, following what we read, it goes into the works of the flesh, and then after that it goes into the fruit of the Spirit. The two contrary one to the other, it tells us. Opposites, I guess you could say. And there is a sharp contrast between the two. One, the life of the flesh, and the other, the life of the Spirit. One is controlled by motives that are fleshly and temporal and selfish. The other that is controlled by motives that are heavenly and eternal and spiritual. We find it a number of occasions the necessity to have our attention drawn to this spiritual struggle that is going on, or this contrary way of life, one against the other. Walk not in the flesh, but walk in the Spirit. We find it in the book of Romans. We find it here as well. It seems to be a theme that Paul the Apostle brings out. Maybe if we were to look into it, we would find that he was dealing with individuals that struggled with that very issue, that struggled with that concept within their own lives. There was the flesh warring against the Spirit warring against the flesh. Some of you would say, well, preacher, that's obvious that that's who he was dealing with. That's what he was dealing with, because he was dealing with people. In this passage, he simply says, walk in the Spirit. As though it was something that was just common that can be done. As though it was something that can be done by the choice of an individual. As though it was something that a person can say, I will, or I choose, I decide to walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. That songwriter said, no turning back. Well, it seems to me that the reason why so many people would turn back is because they have not decided in their walk with Jesus that they are going to walk in the Spirit and not after the flesh. Now, somebody may say, and somebody may have done, that they started out good and they started out well and they walked with Christ. They walked in the Spirit, but somewhere along the line something happened. Something began to change. And really, I suppose that without fail, we can go back and point to a specific incident or scene unfolding where their connection with the Spirit began to loosen. They were no longer really as strongly connected or consistently walking in the Spirit. Well, some things that we need to notice about this spiritual walk. And I believe if we notice them and regard them within our heart, if we would allow the truth of them to settle into our own lives, it'll make it that much easier, or maybe I could even venture to say easy, to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. First of all, the thing that I notice about this spiritual walk, this walking in the Spirit, is a holy walk. It's a humble walk. Jesus speaks about that humility and sense of holiness as he shares with us different aspects in his ministry on earth. And one of the things that he shares with us about the humility that is to accompany this walk is when he says and he calls to those that are weary and heavy laden, come and take my yoke upon you. And learn of me. He said, I am meek and lowly in heart. And through this yoke, and in the midst of this yoke, and in the midst of this walk, he said, you will find rest for the soul. Spiritual rest. Soul rest. We can go back into the Old Testament, and Micah tells us a little bit about this walk as well. Even though it's an Old Testament passage, it carries into the New Testament church. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee. One of the things that he says in that little verse and in that context, he says it's a humble walk, to walk humbly before thy God, or humble thyself, as one writer said, humble thyself to walk with thy God. This walk of spiritual context, this Spirit-filled walk, this walk that is going to prevent the walking in the flesh or the fulfillment of the flesh, this walk is an upright walk. It's a straightforward walk. It's a walk that is controlled by the Spirit of God. One writer said that this life that is controlled by the Spirit of God is absolutely pure. It's absolutely truthful. It's absolutely honest, without crookedness, without equivocation or double dealing. We could probably preach on that text, even though it's not what we call Scripture. I believe that you could preach on that text. Pure and truthful and honest, without crookedness, without equivocation or double dealing. Sometimes I think people test us. I don't know if it's true or I don't know if it's a fact or not. I really don't. I'm not going to judge their motives. I'm not supposed to judge their motives. They don't want me to judge their motives. They do okay judging mine, but they don't want me to judge theirs. I went to RJ's the other day and bought something, and I gave him a $5 bill to pay for my goods, and I got a $5 bill and a $1 bill back and some change. Man, I could do business like that every day. And I kind of looked up at the cashier, and I looked at her and held the money out, and she just kind of looked at me sort of funny. And I wondered, I walked away wondering if she was testing me. Could I have walked away? Would that have been okay for me to walk? I mean, not okay in the sense of my relationship with God. I'm not talking about that. But would it have been okay for me? It was her error, not mine. I could have walked away and had a good business deal in that arrangement. I would have won in that arrangement. You know, we can take that scenario, we can take that context into many, many areas of our lives. Winning at the loss of somebody else. Gaining at the expense of somebody else's loss. I know you're all sitting there saying, no, you could not have. You're thinking about the spiritual side of it. Pure, truthful, honest, without crookedness, without equivocation or double dealing. You see, the spiritual side of it has a bearing on the physical side. The spiritual side is what lends our reputation to the people around us. If the motive was to test me, had I failed that test? Oh, it was her fault. It was not my fault. It was her problem, not my problem. But the spiritual context is that as we walk in the Spirit, it's upright and it's straightforward. It's straight living. I was surprised. I'm still surprised at it. I don't understand how it has arrived this way, I guess, except simply that people walk in the flesh and people go after the flesh. And in that flesh, it's a greedy world. There's incidences that come to mind that could have led to the benefit of my pocketbook. Well, that we can talk about business, but that's just a portion of our lives. What about every area or avenue of our life, pure and truthful and honest, without crookedness and equivocation or double dealing, the writer said. Straightforward, humble, holy. That's the nature of this walking in the Spirit. It's also a tender and a sensitive walk. We may not hear a whole lot about this part of it, but it's a tender and a sensitive walk. Paul tells us straightforward in two different places, one in Ephesians and one in 1 Thessalonians, that we dare not grieve the Holy Spirit or not quench the Holy Spirit, as he says it in 1 Thessalonians. You see, that's not something that's there just to give us some extra words to read. That's there to indicate to us that the Holy Spirit can be grieved, or the Holy Spirit can be quenched. You know, as a fire, the Holy Spirit as a fire can be quenched. Sometimes in Scripture we see that the Holy Spirit of God is depicted or figured as a dove. A dove is easily startled and frightened. Doesn't take much for a dove to be startled. We have doves that come into the backyard there where the the bird feeders are, and you don't have to do too much movement inside, and they're flighty, they're moving on. You know, the blue jays, they'll stick around a little longer, the cardinals will stay, and all of those snowbirds in the wintertime, and chickadees, and nuthatches, and all that conglomeration of birds, you know, they'll stick around. Sometimes they'll even stick around not too far away when you go out and fill the bird feeders. They're calling for you to fill them up. But the dove, now, that's a different story. You just move around inside the house a little too much, and they're flighty. They're moving off. The Spirit of God sometimes is spoken of under the figure of a dove. Or the dew. The dew, which is readily absorbed back into the atmosphere as soon as the sun hits it. Brushed away by a careless hand, perhaps, easily removed. This spiritual walk, this walking in the Spirit, is a tender and sensitive walk. Somebody said, quick to feel the approach of sin. Charles Wesley said, a sensitivity to sin, a pain to feel it near. You remember that song? Let me read it to you this evening. I want a principle within of jealous godly fear, a sensibility of sin, a pain to feel it near. I want the first approach to feel of pride or fond desire to catch the wandering of my will and quench the kindling fire. From thee that I no more may part, no more thy goodness grieve, the filial all, the fleshly heart, the tender conscience give. Quick as the apple of an eye, O God, my conscience make. Awake my soul when sin is nigh, and keep it still awake. If to the right or left I stray, that moment, Lord, reprove, and let me weep my life away for having grieved thy love. Oh, may the least omission pain my well-instructed soul and drive me to the blood again, which makes the wounded whole. Do you ever sing that in the quiet moments? Oh, God, give me a sensibility of sin, a pain to feel it near. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Quench not the Spirit. You see, this spiritual walk is a tender, sensitive walk. How sensitive are you to sin? To those things that would hinder the Holy Spirit, that would grieve the Holy Spirit, that would quiet the Holy Spirit? Or like David said when he cried out, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. How sensitive is the spirit of the soul that brings about that kind of a quickening to say, oh God, the joy bells have quit ringing. The joy of salvation is no longer there. Restore those joy bells. Bring me back into a relationship that I should be. It's also, we find that this spiritual walk is a walk that is fruitful. It's a fruitful walk. That's what we'll find later on here in the chapter. The fruit of the Spirit is. The fruit of the Spirit. You see, that's the outcropping. That's the reproduction. That's what is taking place as the person walks in the Spirit. That is what's taking place in the heart. That is what's flowing from the heart. That is what's coming out of the heart. It's not acts. This isn't acts that he's talking about. This isn't things that a person does. This is the disposition. This is how the Spirit changes the heart, controls the heart. Somebody said it this way. The Spirit of God controls the heart, the disposition, which is the spring of our conduct. And when the wishes, feelings, and affections are put right, the actions become right. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the feet move. Out of the abundance of the heart, the hands do. Out of the abundance of the heart, this is the spring of our conduct. And when the wishes and feelings and affections are put right, the actions become right. See, we don't have to seek guidance for every separate action. by walking in the Spirit one step at a time, one foot in front of the other one, by walking in the Spirit, we are walking in the right direction. That's the fruit of walking in the Spirit. What about the results? You see, Paul very clearly states that the result was simply that if you walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Ye shall not fulfill the lust. If you're walking in the Spirit, you see, it's a spiritual continuance. Again, let me go to somebody else's writings. They said holiness is not only an experience, it is a life. Not spasmodic effort, but a persistent, steady course of action. Not the performance of isolated holy acts only, but a perpetual building up of holy character. I kind of like that. I kind of want that to flow into my mind, into my being. I want that to blend in, not spasmodic effort, but persistent, steady course of action, not the performance of isolated holy acts only, but a perpetual building up of holy character. In order for this to happen, in order for this to continue in godliness, we must walk in the Spirit. We overcome the flesh by being filled with the Spirit. We are overcomers by having the Holy Spirit fill us. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. It may be that it appears to be that of a spiritual conquest that we sang about in all three songs tonight. It may be that we are fighting a severe battle, that the spiritual conquest is a reality. It may be that we have to stand up and say, "Onward, Christian soldiers." It may be that it is an ongoing fight, because the fight that the enemy brings our way to destroy the Spirit within our lives, it may be that we have to fight on a daily basis. But the point of it is that we are filled with His Spirit, and filled with His Spirit helps us to be walking in His Spirit, which then, as we are filled and walk with Him, that we do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's not enough just to be on guard against evil. It's not enough just to call ourselves a Christian soldier in the conquest or in the battle. We must be filled. We can't repeat it often enough. You know, we learn sometimes by repetition. We must repeat it over and over again. It's not enough just to guard against evil. We must be filled with the Holy Spirit. The life that is led of the Spirit is a conquering life. Walk in the Spirit. He said, "Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Stand together this evening.